In the name of Jesus, our suffering Savior, dearly redeemed believers. The three most important words ever spoken, almost, it is finished. In English, is just one word in the Greek. It's a little bit tricky in this. We talk about the seven words Jesus spoke from the cross, and usually they're a sentence or so, series of statements. He spoke seven times. But in this case, it is just one word. And whenever I hear this word or think about it, I'm taken back to the one evening service we were allowed to have in Snail Lake School during the first 3 years that New Life Lutheran Church was worshiping, just up the road about a mile here, Target Center of the mission area. The school district was usually using the buildings in the evening, so it wasn't until Good Friday, 1989, that we were able to have an evening service. That one service on this one word, a word which the people kept repeating to me for months and years afterwards, if not saying the word, asking me, what was that again? Because there's something about this word that the Holy Spirit put here for Jesus to speak a word of accomplishment, which is very special one way in the form that it is in the Greek New Testament. It's a special form. We don't have this so much in English. It's called the present perfect, where it's an action completed in the past, but the results are absolutely certain in the present. Completed in the past, absolutely certain in the present. This specific word, listen to it, tetelestai. It is finished. More literally, it stands completed. Tetelestai. He spoke a word of accomplishment. And it's not just the form that tells us that Jesus completed all the work he came to do, but it's the sound of it. Now, you can all go back to your high school English classes, right? So if I mention a literary device, you'll all get this, correct? What is onomatopoeia? Oh, that's one that I always like teaching the kids. Onomatopoeia is a word that sounds like what it is. The boat buzzed across the open sea. You can just hear it in the bzzz. That's onomatopoeia. And so is tetelestai. It's this reduplication of that t sound at the beginning that reminds me of the absolute precision of someone who sees a target and knows exactly where to put the bullet. You've got to be Jack Bauer, 24. TV series, most popular one recently, don't give me those blank looks. Jack Bauer looks at the target and you can just hear the silencer on this ultra-spy's gun. Tetelestai. He never misses and they always die. But when the Lord hits the target and never misses, they live eternally. Tetelestai. It is finished. He got the job done in a way that maybe rather than grammatically might mean more to you if you just imagine that you're sitting there at work and you're just, you know, really frustrated with how hard things have been for so long and you're just looking for a break and the boss comes in all excited, doesn't say, you're finished, says, you're finished. And you say, what? You have done all the work that this company could possibly have you do. You've finished it all, and now you will draw a paycheck for the rest of your life, and you can go do whatever you want and spend it however you like, because you're finished. That's tetelestai. When Jesus accomplished all that he came to do, and he knew exactly what it was going to be, This is probably the most blasphemous part of the way Hollywood likes to portray Jesus, always this confused psycho who doesn't know who he is or why he came or what he's about. And if he ever seems to get a glimpse of it, it's always something grossly immoral, like, oh, the Code by Da Vinci, whatever that is, you know? And the writer says, it's fiction, but I think it could be true. Jesus with Mary Magdalene. They always have to make up some kind of story, something outside the biblical text, because somehow this story of absolute salvation in tetelestai doesn't cut it for Hollywood. But you know why. You would have to admit that you needed it, that you needed a Savior, that you're not good enough the way you are, not a good person, and certainly not right with God. But that's the message of the work that Jesus came to do, and he knew all along that this is what he had to do. From all eternity, the Heavenly Father had said, you are my Son, today I become your Father, begotten of the Father from all eternity. And so the name was announced before Jesus even came to this earth. He was alive already as the eternal Son of God, but the angels said it. Remember that poor, perhaps rather elderly bachelor, very disappointed that his fiancée was pregnant, knew it wasn't his baby, and to have that angel appear and said, it's the Holy Spirit. God did this. Name this son Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem, that glorious announcement, you have a Savior. Go find him in a manger of all places. And glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He knew what he came to do. He knew the job. He knew the target. He knew the end. Tetelestai actually has the word for in Greek for goal in it. It's teleo. It's the goalposts. It's the uprights. He could see that goal all the way through his life, even as a 12-year-old boy, in spite of his parents' criticism. I guess I'd be angry after looking for 3 days for a child too, especially if God gave me this, well, he does, but this is the Son of God and I'm supposed to take care of this son, and then I catch up with him after 3 days and he's there in the temple. But didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business in my Father's house? 12-year-old boy. And he wouldn't be deterred as an adult either. Not even when his siblings came to take him away. Or his disciples, like Peter said, never you, Lord, never crucified, never such a shameful death. And he has to say, get behind me, Satan. Luke records that resolute journey from Luke 9:51 to 19 verse 41, where it says, Jesus knew the time was coming. He was about to go into heaven. So he set his face toward Jerusalem on a resolute journey. He would not be turned aside. He saw the target. He went for the goal. He had a word to say when he'd finally get there. He had just 24 hours before this said to his Heavenly Father on Maundy Thursday in the upper room, I have brought you glory by finishing the work you sent me to do. He accomplished all that he came to do, to tetelestai. But you and I? How many tasks in our lives just don't get done? Don't you find it much easier to start something than it is to finish it? Don't you sometimes just have to tell yourself, I'm not going to start that until I finish this? Otherwise, your house ends up like total disarray because of all these unfinished projects. You know there are people like that. They never get anything done. I can remember my parents telling me, you get that done before you start that. Oh, Mom, you know, we want to start things. We don't want to finish them. It's been a problem in our congregation, especially in the early years when we were trying to learn how to serve the Lord in lay ministry. People would be elected or agree that they would do certain things and then wouldn't show up. I mean, we all have things come up. But to forget it, to let it go, to act like the work of the Lord is just something, well, just instead of calling someone and saying, can you fill in for me? This is the Lord's work. It needs to be done. I mean, when the cost gets to whatever the debt was that we had to pay, especially if there's extra effort involved or we're up against opposition, we've never even known what it was to have pain. And yet we don't finish. So often we don't finish what we start. Reading that account of the words of our Lord from the cross, from Calvary, and the Passion history tonight, it struck me. You know, every time they said, "Save yourself," do you know that they were actually blaspheming his name? Remember, the name Jesus means Savior. It's scattered all over the Old Testament in that root that means to save. In the English Bible, if you see the word deliverance or deliver or some form of that, it's probably Jesus' name in the Hebrew root, Yasha. I've told you about that before. Old Testament Joshua, the noun form, New Testament Jesus in the Aramaic, it means to save or to make a wide way. Save yourself. If you're really God, come down from the cross. The soldiers, the rulers, everybody's saying that, even the criminals. Be Jesus if you really are. And yet he would not give up, because it wasn't just his heavenly Father's work he needed to do. It was the debt he needed to pay for you, for me, for all. He came to do a job and pay a debt in full, which you and I could never pay, with an eternity of suffering in hell. And think what it means for you, that he would actually pay not only for the things that you did wrong, but the things that you left undone, to pay that debt, that huge, unspeakable debt. In the business world, this word tetelestai means something rather interesting. I bet you can guess what it is. It was used actually as a stamp on invoices. What would it mean if you stamped an invoice tetelestai? In English, we would say paid in full. So you've been paying on this mortgage for, and it just won't go away. And you get that letter that you think is some ugly surprise from the mortgage company, and they're stamped tetelestai, paid in full. How does that make you feel on your mortgage? So you've got this car, and you get the papers. The title is right there, and the last of the bills is stamped tetelestai. You're paid in full. Your student loan, it just goes away with tetelestai. All of the debt, every last little bit of it. John in particular, the one disciple who was actually there at the foot of the cross and heard that word, tetelestai. He's the one who tells us, you are dearly loved by your Father because your sins are all forgiven. His first epistle is just full of this. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the full payment for us. And what did he do according to John's epistle? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Even the ones I don't remember. I couldn't confess them if I tried. Except in general, who can understand his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Paid in full. Tetelestai. The stupid sins? What have we been saying after the Passion history? Those words from Isaiah. Stupid sheep that we are. Week after week we've said this together. We all like sheep have gone astray. We're like sheep. The shepherd is trying to lead up into the high mountain country, and instead of waiting for the good clean water where he leads us, we stop and drink from every mud puddle along the way and pick up the parasites and the nematodes, and then we wonder why we get sick. We wonder why we're sick in our soul and sick in our spirit when we're just sucking it all up in the world around us instead of drinking the clean water of our shepherd. We go astray like sheep that are cast. You remember that picture? The cast sheep? Oh, they love to lie on their back in a little hollow spot, especially when the wool is getting thick of manure and dirt and they're back heavy. And they get to rolling around in this hollow spot, probably worn out hollow because sheep love to wander in the same paths over and over again. And the sheep starts rolling back and forth, and before too long, he's cast. It's a technical term. It means his feet are up in the air and he can't get off his back. The stomach is exposed. And the belly of a sheep won't last too long, or the sheep either, when the sun is beating down on the unprotected animal. Unless the shepherd finds the sheep, it's dead. And we all, like sheep, over and over again have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus said, "It is finished." The action was completed in the past. The results continue into the present and forever. So what do you do with it? What does it mean in your everyday life? You know the parable that Jesus told about the debt, the debtor, the one that couldn't pay the debt, and he had been forgiven this unbelievable debt. But as an unforgiving servant, he finds another servant who has a little debt and he just won't forgive him. He wants to throw him into debtor's prison, his family and children and all. So the master took him and threw him into the weeping and gnashing of teeth prison. Jesus says, unless you forgive your brothers their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The best thank you, the only thank you that the Lord finds acceptable for you and me as debtors set free, is to find the ones that really owe us, the ones that really irritate us, the ones that are the most painful memories, the most difficult, and stamp their papers paid in full. He wants to telestai in our life, to show up on the papers and the invoices of everybody who owes us, because it's what he did for us when he spoke that word of accomplishment. Yes, he came to do everything he set out to do. He paid our debt in full. For Jesus' sake, go speak to telestai and live it in every way. Debt paid in full. Amen. Please rise.